So my intention today is to bring closer into your hearts, into your self, to bring closer Krishna's consciousness, to unite in divine union with this God's consciousness. It's not about the figure or the picture that I just shown you, but that helps to open your heart and listen to the mantra and connect with the consciousness so much easier. So for the ones that Krishna's consciousness might be new, I would like to share a few words before we come to the meditation and the transmission today, to share a few words about what is Krishna's consciousness. And Krishna's consciousness, it means an awareness of an affection of the Supreme Consciousness. It's the culmination of all forms of yoga, all knowledge, meditation. And Krishna's consciousness is the natural, original, and blissful condition of every individual. So this consciousness can be awakened and realized within our deepest heart, so to speak. But most of the time, we are not able to attune or connect with divinity. It's only because of the great illusion and great distractions of life experiences that pull us out and away from our own divinity. So this mayas, this distraction is only distraction if you are immersed and have forgotten your divinity. If you are attuned and connected to the divine, this world is not a problem. This world has no issues. This world is perfect, even if it looks imperfect. So it's not the experiences of life that are wrong, but it's us forgetting our divinity and immersing ourselves into that which is impermanent, into that which distracts us from our true nature. So we all want, you know, to be happy. We all want to know who we truly are and what we're supposed to do even here on this earth. You know, what's this lifetime all about? So we try with a lot of effort to experience, you know, happiness and pleasures of life and peace. Yeah, we create a lot of effort, we give a lot of work to that, isn't it? So that we can feel ultimately at peace and happy, fulfilled, maybe. Of course, along our life, we hit many obstacles, you know, and we learn through them, we evolve, we grow, we become wiser, we become more compassionate. But still along the way, we're kind of polishing through any remaining limitations that don't feel natural to any of us. So then, this is where the practices of Krishna consciousness and of the bhakti yoga comes in. They are meant to free us from the root cause of all anxieties and all fears by reawakening our normal, eternal spiritual happiness. And the eternal spiritual happiness is a non-dual happiness. Yeah, it's a happiness that is it's found, you know, beyond happiness and sadness, so to speak. So the process is simple when it comes to the bhakti path and the path of love, because we have all these divine names, yeah, where we can meditate upon the divine, we can chant mantras, which, by the way, mantras, they are charged up with the actual energy and consciousness, but they're also like a radio frequency. Yeah, when you chant these divine names, you're switching on a button. Yeah, you're turning your radio station and connecting with that specific frequency consciousness. So in the bhakti path, many people throughout thousands of generations have been chanting the names of the divine to help oneself reconnect and remember our true nature. Also, in the Krishna, in the Vedic name, he's a supreme being. He's a source of our existence and a source of pure bliss. And whenever you are undergoing some great challenges in this life, you can remember and stop, like pause, and recognize the tiredness maybe, and the stress and the anxieties and all the worries that you carry. And in a moment, you can say to yourself, can I surrender this to God? Can I surrender this? And every time you remember that, you might become aware that a certain divine's presence has approached you. And the presence of the divine is so vast that you may feel yourself like a tiny pearl in a great vast ocean. And this divine presence, it could be general or specific, maybe according to whom you're connected with. And this divine presence comes and scoops you, lifts you up and takes care of you. But only after you remember the divine's presence and you surrender. So even though you may be experiencing changes in your life, and we all know that human beings take a while to adjust to changes, or some things tragic, or some things which are creating suffering in around you, in your environment, or in the world as in general, you can always allow a certain slipping away of what burdens you hold and carry. What I mean by this, when you're holding your worries and fears and anxieties, it is the limited self, the ego self, that is in charge in that moment. And that's why it's difficult. But the moment you shift and remember and you give it away, or you let it go, this divine huge presence comes and it takes care of you. What that means is that you give your trust and your power to the highest vehicles of your own consciousness. You have no control. You can't control your death. You can't control anything. You can't even control this body you are wearing. So that's something to remember. So coming back to bhakti yoga and this path of love, it's here to support you to recover, to awaken that connection. And that connection, as it cultivates and grows, it merges, it unites. Just like when you meet someone new, a friend, you meet somebody new, and at first you communicate, you get to know each other, you become friends, you become closer. And if that is it turns to a relationship, a romantic relationship, those two beings actually merge as one, isn't it? So it's just to give you an example of this cultivation of bhakti, how you can open your hearts and cultivate your love and polish through anything that's uncomfortable. And it's okay to feel everything that you feel and experience, but don't get stuck in it. Surrender that. Surrender your control. Give it to the divine. And this is why Krishna today came through to support and to have this transmission and to attune you to that within you as well. Right. So our intention as well today is to realign, center ourselves to that perfect, path that leads us to that eternal, happiness or eternal bliss, which is uninterrupted, unforgotten. It's like in the background of everything, even if in the front and the life experience might seem heavy and with weight and dark, but behind it all, you can still actually be in bliss. Because in the core, it's already free, it's already liberated, it's already untouched by any misery, any fears. And since in our collective consciousness and in our media, there's a constant bombardment of distractions of the nature of ourselves, isn't it? Wherever you go, whatever you do, may bring you out of yourself. And it may seem normal, it may seem okay, because it became, habitual. And, for some people, if you're a peaceful person or a patient person, they just can't understand it. Because for certain people, being irritated or angry is normal. So that's how this worldly view looks like. It seems abnormal to speak of the divine and bring the manifestation of the divine. That seems abnormal, but living in worry and stress, that seems to be the norm. Although it's not normal, it just became so habitual because everyone is confused and doubtful of oneself, doubtful, confused, not knowing what you're even doing here on earth. And of course, when there is more wisdom, more awareness, more connections with your higher self, then there becomes clarity. There becomes a flourishing of love and flourishing of consciousness. Then everything falls into place and everything is clear. And your soul's purpose, and why you're here, and why you're here has no attachments to it. Because your eternal self, your eternal existence.